directly was advertised most of the posts. Most of the posts mainly were coming from posts around Brussels. So we are watching the few of those posts, and we hope that by the end of this year we'll have filled in the majority of those posts. But there were also those posts which were going to get from Northwest, so we had budgeted for them. So by the time we completed the transfer of stuff from Northwest, then there was so we're over budgeting in the sense, because the settlement, I think the transfers only took place 2007-2008, whereas we budgeted for 2006-2007. So that also led to an over an expenditure. And also the other problem was with over budgeted for medical schemes for our workers, and the take up was very low. Most educators, I think, because of financial schemes, who cut down their terminate the medical scheme. In terms of the teacher strike, that because of industrial action, with loss on teaching time, and when we reopened schools, the focus was on curriculum. So we left out anything else which was not ready, the 1+1 in classes. As a result, that's why we're not being spending properly on HSNA. But that's in that, it's not the first year that we've been understanding this area, so I think it's a focus area. The school nutrition program, I think, is going very well. There's nothing to report there. We think we spend on time. The only issue was around capacity of the in that section. And with the filling in of posts into your plan, we think we'll address our capacity problem in that area. So there isn't much to report about it. The recap area is another area which has a number of challenges here. I think we realize that these are money transferred by national to equity colleges without necessarily giving provinces an admin fee to be able to either monitor the implementation thereof. We've also devised a strategy of setting up teams to assist them, but essentially there are lots of problems in the implementation and the expenditure and the equity program. We'll also be getting intense assistance from the French government around the infrastructure of the ICT colleges. We think that is going to also assist us to move quite rapidly. On KTEC, it's a moving target. By 2004, I was told that we were short of 134 schools. By 2009, I can assure you, we were still short of 174 schools, despite the fact that between that period, we would have built more than 80 schools. So we have a huge backlog of infrastructure and housing, but we also have a huge underutilization of infrastructure in the old township. So we really have the problem that in terms of existing stock, we have enough stuff, but the stock which is in wrong places. So we have lots of empty schools in all the established townships which are closing, and lots lack of space in the new areas. As a result, we've had to look at other alternative methods to help us with the implementation. Some of the structure that we have done is to really link up your BEE companies with the big infrastructure companies to help them with project management, with professional skills, but still utilizing them. Because we have been experiencing problems with small contractors in terms of their inability to project manage their work, taking too long to complete school. Some will take up to 4 years to complete the school. And we're very confident that with the new methodology, we are able to put together, without prejudicing black business enterprises, we're able to put a school within a year. And we think that is going to assist us to move with speed. But it is still an area of serious concern in the province. We have attached the number of buildings that, as an appendix, the number of schools that we'll put up just between this year and next year will be like between 2006 and 2007 and 8 will be by March, we're seeing about 54 schools. This is the biggest delivery that we've had, and because we've changed the approach to the delivery of infrastructure. We still have lots of maintenance backlogs in terms of your old schools, the schools that we're inheriting, that we build schools from, again, that we inherited. But fortunately, the province is prioritizing rehabilitation of schools in all established townships through the 20 priority townships project. That project is focusing mainly on infrastructure in all established townships and looks at refurbishing your roads, your water and sanitation infrastructure, but it also looks at buildings of schools to try and rehabilitate old schools. So in 2015, we're just showing the budget, how much the budget has. We're estimating that this year we'll overspend 25 million. We've already indicated that the Treasury to say this will be, this is a projected over expenditure. But with some delays in the building of schools, we think we might be able to escape over expending. I thought I should leave it at that. The appendix is all the schools that we're putting up and indicating how far they are. The other problem in Gauteng is the acquisition of land. Land is extremely expensive in Gauteng for building schools in the right places. That we also begin to experience as a challenge. The poor planning also by local municipalities is also a major problem. There's a special planning where they will give licenses to building up of flats and not even accommodate a space for a school. That also begins to be a challenge. And as I say, especially in this prosperous, in this rich areas, land is very expensive to put up for schools. That the areas that have left out, the areas which I thought we don't have much of a problem to report on, the areas I've highlighted, especially your ECD, where we've been understanding quite badly. I think Albert will explain, because I always ask explanations from that, and I'm not sure myself I'm able to see the area of serious concern. Your FCT, the CAP also is the area of serious concern. We're addressing that, your setup systems to address that. Your other section also, we're understanding. I think Albert is also understanding those areas.
I think in terms of ECD, we had budgeted for growth because we have a particular target for 2010. The problem that we're having is that we also prioritize Quintile 1 and Quintile 2 schools as the priority area. We have discovered that as a result of increased enrollment, we no longer have the classrooms available that was originally available for grade R introduction. So now we have infrastructure shortages in those schools, and we had budgeted for the rollout of those particular grades in this particular year. We've had to, and we're now in the process of talking to our treasury to reprioritize the budget, which was initially for goods and services, and to convert some portion of it to infrastructure, and to at least see whether we can build some classrooms in schools in a hurry. Because there would be additions, it wouldn't be a lot of sort of time that would be needed, and put that into place. I think in addition, we also were anticipating the proposed norms and standards for grade R, which expects us to subsidize the grade R site to 70% of the cost of a primary school learner in a public ordinary school. And we have been essentially underfunding these sites intentionally until those norms have been proclaimed so that we would not have any funding problems. In regard to ABET, we had a problem where we have been funding ABET learners, but a large number of our ABET centers now have grade 10, 11, and 12 learners. That's almost 60% of our ABET centers are now running programs for around 45,000 learners that are trying to complete school and that are not ABET learners. And therefore, in terms of the statutory mandate, we would not be in a position to fund those particular learners because they are not between ABET level 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're now in the process of meeting with the ABET principals to restructure the financial agreement with this particular school, as it is also a national priority to ensure that all learners that had been learning under Report 550 be accelerated out of the system by at least 2010, 2011. And so we would reprioritize the budget to support these institutions on condition that they fast-tracking these learners to completing their senior system.
Thank you. No questions. There are more questions than answers.
I'm saying, sir, we must thank the MC for the presentation. There are two things, sir, that maybe one would like to understand. One, I'm just trying to stage through the Treasury's report for Gauteng in terms of how much was the Department of Education allocated for provincial infrastructure grants. Did they get allocation on that? How much was that? But also, when we're dealing with the Department of Education over MTPCS, they raised the issues of the ECD. Now, the department seems to be talking about ECD at the level of great arts at schools. But my understanding of them was that also ECDs would include those small, what you call, crashes in the country. And when you look at the figures that the department provided, you find that, for instance, Gauteng has got too few of those, what you call, ECDs. Clearly, many people have not registered. What is being done to register those people, to put them in the system so that they can be accountable? That's my take. But also, if we could just hear about the MEC for Free State, now in passing commented around the issue of the no free school. Cutting, for instance, there was a report that recently in the city press. Well, what about the challenges that are encountered in the local schools? Is the department able to address them?
Okay. No more questions. Cutting is fortunate. No. On page 4. On page 4, FEC is at 35%. Now, what is the likely position come the end of the financial year? Education aid is 33%. Are we projecting understanding again there? In fact, for both FET and education aid. And then school nutrition. What is interesting is that in July, the spending was 25 million. Then by September, 50 million. In other words, it's for the 2 months, August and September. 25 plus. And then we're at 44%. What is the likely outcome there in terms of the risk? Are we foreseeing overspending or underspending? And if we foresee one of the two, either one of the two, well, what are we doing about that? The generally the spending from page 3 is at 46.4%. Now what are the likely risks accounting? Are we again going to see some underspending? Just broadly in terms of almost every program. There's the only program that seems to be spending is non-profit institutions 77.4%, and machinery and equipment and households. But then generally there's understanding administration is also overspent, understanding at 61, independent schools 62. What is likely this shall come the end of the financial year? We're going to see what we saw in the last financial year in Southview, for instance. And then you are also raising the problem of the lack of schools and classrooms for ECD, and yet we are also told that there are some schools that are standing empty. What is the plan in terms of those? The GBFA is involved in a program called Sustainable Community. Now, in the context of, the GBFA is involved in the program Sustainable Community. National Treasury has something called Neighborhood Development Program. Now, in the context of that, and the schools that are standing empty, what is the plan again of the province in terms of ensuring the sustainable community? Okay. I think one of the things that I think I did not raise, I think it was the answer, let me not let me just raise it not as a question, but as a matter that you must just look at as a problem. There is brand new funding now for electrifying schools from GME. I think it would be nice, not today, just to have a clear audit in terms of those schools that need electrifying and whether some of them are targeted by ESCOM for provision of electricity. And what is the situation in respect of the empty schools in respect of this infrastructure called electricity? Well, clearly, if there is electricity in those schools, that is just wasted. I think something that we would need to bring to the attention of ESCOM. There are so many schools that are still empty that are electrified and so on and so on. Therefore, there might be some form of research. Okay, let me see and you see what is open.
Yeah. So the other question is we hear other provinces that in terms of your national school nutrition program, they are extending the program to the secondary schools. What is the thinking of housing in relation to that?
Okay, so I'll take the easy one from the I know it is. So let's just start with the school nutrition program. My predecessor had run a pilot on extending, but housing has long been wanting to extend the program to secondary schools. But from the results of the nutrition, the province felt that with the resources was national only features money for primary. So the province felt that it was not possible to run based on the results of the feasibility. It's not possible to do it without it being policy and therefore being funded nationally. So that's why we've not even started considering it. I know some schools out of their own initiatives have one way, and even communities run some school nutrition programs from the home economic centers, but they run to their own. It's not run by us. And we have No intention of an interest. In terms of empty schools and the ECD, the empty schools are in your old established areas where it's my age group of people who are no longer even having children to go to ECD. So it's not even possible. So they've stopped breathing in any form. So where the empty schools are in areas of people my age. So ECD is not even, it's not even a startup. So, and that's where we need new schools, we need new areas and new developing areas, and that's where we don't have schools. So we're not able to use those ECD centers for anything else. We had something, so we started using them for other centers, but also young people who want to go to other centers are not in those areas. There will be in new areas where we don't have schools. Some of the schools have been, we've had committees approaching us for different activities to use those schools. So some are being used by communities as computer academies, some are using them as, we loaned another one to a private school. I mean, there are private schools in township now that are successful, so we also are giving them a private school. Because if we don't give them away, they easily get vandalized, people occupy them and enjoy them and also use them as residential areas if you don't want a fund. The example of electricity and water running in those schools, can't people occupy them? Because they already have, they divide those classes into a four-roomed house and I mean, I went to a vista which is unutilized in Tshwane. They've converted it into a residential area. They're using electricity free. We've been reporting to the municipality to cut down water and electricity that they don't. And unfortunately, it's opposite to one of our schools. And there's been very bad incidents where a child was also raised outside the school in that squatter area which developed next door to because of an unoccupied school. So they are actually a nuisance and a threat where we have to close schools. And that's why as soon as we find anybody wants to use them for educational purposes, we quickly give it to them so that it's really not useful for wrong reasons. To be answering, even if CBSA could approach us, we do, but we will report it. But as soon as we don't want to use it, it no longer becomes our property. It goes in regards to public works as the custodian of state assets. And then they want us to run it. So then they really come across all sorts of problems, which become a nuisance also for us as a Department of Education. In terms of school electrification, in housing, when we don't have electricity in schools, it's because there are no bulk services in that community. It should be an informal area and a new area. But in housing, almost all our schools where there's electricity in that area are electrified. So the only problem we have is new areas where there's no bulk services, you know, informal areas which are undeclared, or even new schools in those areas where there's just no bulk services brought in by ESCOM that we don't have electricity. There are very few of them, I think we're counting about three. Yeah, very few of the schools in Gauteng will not be electrified. We've begun to address them. The Gauteng is very small, so even to cut two or four bridges with a huge back-to-back, you will have no-fee school across the road. The other side is school fee, and they just keep walk across because of the congestion in housing. And it's very upsetting for me to say who is poor here, because there's people that live back to back that isn't the poor. So that was one of the major problems around no-fee schools. And actually, what would have happened is I think of the easy mobility in housing. Children who, the children of people, of our children, ourselves and Khalan, will go to the center and leave good infrastructure in better communities. And according to our system of demarcating and open schools, those schools which are in affluent areas do not qualify, whereas the children who are in those areas are poor children who come from across the road or who come from an informal settlement. So we have lots of challenges actually in Khalan around it. And I'll ask Albert to say how we're addressing, but it was really more of the environment that was facing from us in terms of no-fee schools in housing. That's why I think, as I said, Bob, so we just, the newspapers didn't understand what the dilemma was. Because as I say, if you go to East Bank, it's a very affluent area, but the children of those doctors go to school in Sandton, and children go to East Bank, it seems to come from the informal area of Alexander. And that was what the challenge was around. And no free schools in Gauteng, and how we're supposed to implement it. But, yeah, the ones that are, according to the shed, I use it to ask that to
please. I think just the one on the electricity. The problem that we now have with electricity is that we discovered a large number of our schools have exactly the same capacity of a normal household. And therefore, adding on things like computer labs and so on is now giving us problems that the capacity of the electricity line into the school is inadequate for the kind of infrastructure that we require in a school for appropriate learning. So it's a single-phase line that's going into schools where schools require at least a three-phase a solution. I think the other issue around empty schools is that we need to start doing a lot of work around the regeneration of residential areas. There is a typical cycle of about 25 to 35 years. And if we simply sell the schools or pass it on for alternate use, as the current old community starts to die off and the houses get sold or transferred to younger families and new demand for housing, for schooling emerges, we have discovered in a large number of areas in and around the inner city of Johannesburg that we no longer have schools. So even though the school buildings are there, they're now owned by Telkom, they're now owned by the military, they've been transferred to theological colleges and so on. And we no longer have facilities or land available for public schooling. So what we would have to do is to analyze some sort of trends and projections as to what percentage of schools could be leased for short-term use or mothballed in the anticipation that we would need it at a future point. So we have to do some modeling because we would not be in a position to get rid of those schools. So if you look in the south of Johannesburg and in the inner city or the residential areas around the CBD, we no longer have properties for schooling. I think in terms of the budget trends, the provincial grant is 162 million. And if you look on page 15, you will find that there's a line item there called National Grant, and it's linked to a large number of these particular projects. And if you go to page, the annexure, but if you go to the sixth or seventh page of the annexure, you will find that there's a long list of projects that are linked to the National Grant, the PIG, which in our province we call it the National Grant. It's been called it historically from Professor Kada Asma's time, and he made sure that the particular conditions were attached to it. So it is covered here. We have been delivering on this particular project, and they're mostly rehabilitation projects, where we're looking at rehabilitating the school in terms of all of its classrooms, toilet blocks, and so on. I think in relation to the pre-grade art, it is the delivery of pre-grade art is not the responsibility of the education department. It's the responsibility of social development and local government and the Department of Health. In terms of the white paper, education is responsible for quality assuring the teacher development or the practitioner development programs and to support the practitioner development programs wherever possible, and then to also deal with the learning programs that would be appropriate for pre-grade art. In that regard, in Gauteng, we have been asked on behalf of the province to establish a director that would be responsible for the coordination of pre-grade art across all the agencies of government to ensure there is a coordinated delivery strategy. We have already gone through a process of establishing the director. It is operational. And in the process of consolidating a large number of work, including a single regulatory framework, which doesn't exist at this point in time. And that regulatory framework will then allow a large number of private provision to be registered
And then to see where the demand is for public provision, and then through the Department of Health, Social Development and Local Government to provide those services where necessary. So there is an expansion strategy. Under the Department of Social Development, they've allocated approximately 30 million rand for the building of pre-grade R centers in the poorer communities in Gauteng. I think in terms of the conditional grant spending, the one that we're quite worried about and that we are intervening in is the recapitalization grant. It is not fully within our control. We have set up measures where we are now calling them on a monthly basis to reconcile their operational plans and their delivery to make sure that they're on track. We did not transfer the 50% tranche, which is what was initially anticipated, and that was as a result of 21 million rand under expenditure last year that was rolled over this year. And therefore, they had to still spend last year's allocation, and we didn't see them having the potential to spend the full transfer for the first tranche. And so, in the second tranche, if they are meeting their targets, we will then transfer the full amount on time before the end of the year. In respect of the HIV and AIDS program, we have developed an accelerated program for January, February, and March. And that is simply because even though the strike had ended by the end of June, we had used the program time for HIV and AIDS for the recovery plan to recover lost learning, and so we've put that into place. And so we're hoping that we should reach at least 90 to 95% expenditure in HIV and AIDS. In respect of nutrition, you will see that our spending is on track. For the second quarter, we had to continue providing nutrition services to schools, even though the industrial action was on. And the reason for that was simply that we had to ensure that food was available if learners turned up for lessons, which did happen in most of the cases. And where they didn't turn up, we had made alternate arrangements with local hospices and orphanages to ensure that the food did move to those particular institutes when there were no learners at the school. If you look at the trend, it's showing there's about 25 million rand expenditure per quarter. That would give you, on a projection, about 100 million, but the difference of 14 million rand is to improve the infrastructural environment for food preparation and to reinforce the food preparation part through the procurement of equipment and additional mobile classrooms, also refurbished classrooms where necessary. And that is already on track. I think the overall expenditure, we are projecting some under expenditure again in personnel for the same reason there was an under expenditure last year. However, this year we have had discussions with our treasury, and we will surrender the money before the end of the adjustment period. What we will do, however, is negotiate with our treasury that this money is ring-fenced and earmarked in the revenue fund, that as soon as the resolutions are passed, they will then have to vote it to us as part of an adjustment budget or the appropriation budget wherever necessary. But we find that it is not necessary for us to carry that money every year. We have already rolled over 2005-06 money, plus the improvement in conditions of service portion of that, plus the 2006-07 portion, and we're now going to running with the 2007-08 portion. And that is going to essentially create a large volume of money that will remain unspent. What we are writing to the National Department of Education and the negotiators and the people responsible for the policies that need to be resolved at the ELRC is not to make the resolution retrospective. And by not making it retrospective gives us some opportunity to reduce class size by increasing the number of teachers with that money that's available in a sustainable way. And in that way, we would ensure that the money is well spent, because it would be difficult for us now to then calculate retrospectively for 3 years on bonuses, even though the unions are expecting that this money will be paid over I think with OSD and all these other sort of incentives coming in place, it's just going to be a nightmare to maintain and track the different resolutions at the implementation level.
Okay.
Mr. Fakoni had raised a question. I'm not sure what province was that in the service sanitation. And now, I forgot to bring to the attention of everybody here that there is funding dedicated to sanitation in schools under Vote 34, Water Affairs and Forestry. It is the backlog in water and sanitation at clinics and schools grants that it needs. The purpose is to eradicate the water supply and sanitation backlog of all clinics by 2008 and that of all schools by 2009. So what you are also raising therefore in respect of the new schools that you're talking about is already funded at Cat Dwarf. So don't go deep into your own equitable share. Firstly, engage Dwarf. That's just, excuse me, to deal with those matters. I think then what would be useful is to identify these schools, then audit them, identify them, and ensure that lists are given to Dwarf in respect of those schools so that sanitation is immediately put in place. These are allocations in kind to municipalities or designated their special program. So I just wanted to raise that so that you don't dig very deep in your equitable share again, or even your PIG, your IGP for sanitation at schools. There is already this dedicated funding in terms of the Bible. Now, thank you very much for that. Your last word, let me see.
Thank you very much. Again, my colleagues will have said that the interactions are very useful. They also, as MECs, assist us in terms of our oversight, the types of questions. Sometimes it will be issues that on our own do not have to pick up, so they are quite useful. Thank you very much.
Right. You see, because Owing said 737s and others have problems these days, we allow you to go home early. So that if an engine falls off, you are safe, and Mr. Sogun wants to keep you in the meeting.
Yeah, you know, when I see them, I don't often see them, so it's useful when I see them to be with them longer, to keep them here longer, much longer. Now, I just wanted to say, in fact, I have found the slide for the Provincial Treasury for Infrastructure Grants. But it's clear that there needs to be engagement with most of the provinces. Between the allocation from of this infrastructure grant, provincial infrastructure grant, because the province allocates. I don't know what formula they use. I see here that they have allocated, for instance, more to public transport. I mean to transport. 1 billion. I suspect that it's mixed is what it comes. I think it's a mixture of grants, this one. It's not just this one real grant, but we'll have to find the real the real source. Sorry?
No, it's not. Gautrain is also dedicated here. There's clear funding for Gautrain. If the token is correct, there is a formula, as we were saying earlier, which again must be biased towards education in the IGP. But also the law is also a bit stronger and clearer. So clearly with those matters we shall follow up, you're right, so that education is given its funding properly. So no, you're right. It can be that roads and transport would never, in terms of the formula, get so much. In fact, it gets the least amount. It is always education, health, and roads. And education is always very high in terms of
the IGP.
So we will have to engage with them, just to provincial treasurer again, I think you're right there, so that we did resolve the problem of health and housing in respect of this. So let's also resolve then this other problem that relates to education. And your last word, Emissary, you said your last word, thank you very much. Can we take that province that has no international airport but a 9/11 international airport? There's a brand new airport called Kruger International Airport. Of course, there are little planes whose engines are not so heavy. So there is an aircraft from that side, because I know the MEC is somewhere, the HOD is overseas, and therefore there is an aircraft from generation. Proceed.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir. Good.
I wanted you to start talking to page 7.
Correct.
Of your report.
Can I, with your permission, just say good afternoon to other members as well, including yourself and fellow colleagues, or those that are still left. You're 100% right. My MEC did apologize, sir. They're having a special cabinet meeting today. And as the newspaper said 2 weeks ago, whoever is going to fill take white big shoes, I think it's very applicable to me to fill these big shoes left. So my HOD is overseas. We will give it our best. I'm very pleased to note, Chair, without jumping or wasting much time, that from National Treasury's synopsis, we are not there. By the way, I'm the new kid on the block, the CFO Education. And I hope, and I'm sure we'll give you a very clear picture of where we are. I do share your sentiment, Chair, that our budget is indeed declining. I had a look, for example, at ours since I started, and where we had an increase of 26% for this financial year in nominal terms, in real terms, education budget is declining.
And so there are a couple of things that also came out during this discussion here.
I noted that I wouldn't like to waste your time with that. If members would allow, we can go straight to page 7, which is point 3 for this year's allocation of an expenditures of conditional grants. 3.1, we know the procedure. I think we can just skip that over because money comes from National Treasury. In our national departments, there are certain rules, that's why it's called conditional grants, etc. If we go to page 8, which is slide 15, that includes the economical, that has the economical classification, and in that is built in the next slide, which is, or the following slide is just a mirror image in program formation. What's more important is on page 9 for this particular session, conditional grant spending. Okay, Chair, we have for this current financial year, for HMDA, 13 million rand, of which we spent 4.3 million rand, which is 33%. And our reason not for being at the 50% benchmark is mainly as a result of the industrial strike, all those activities that are being postponed will be addressed or are being addressed via the recovery plan. I need to mention to this House that all these conditional grants are in line with the business plan. Next one is NFMT, or school, National School Nutrition Program, 106.6 million rand. At 46 million rand we spent thus far, which is 44%, almost there. Again, I can just mention very briefly, that we have, based on the earlier discussion, we are feeding 572,876 learners at 110 per day, 456 days. Those who'd like to make the calculations, I repeat, 572,876 learners, 156 days, 110 per day. We're paying food handlers, or the mamas or papas, who they are papas preparing food, 3,227 of these people, and that's why we've established 128, that is for this financial year, vegetable gardens. Challenges in that regard, it was mentioned earlier, the dichotomy story or challenge, where children can be from the same household or from primary and secondary, and they are not being fed. That, of course, we face similar situation. The other challenge we have there in NSNP is to try and feed all school days currently, and also we're aiming to go further to quintiles 4 and 5. I think we're currently at quintile 3. If we go to further education and training, we stand at 40, or budget of 40 million rand. We're on the dot at 50%, 20 million rand. These are simply just transfers to the FET. If I can jump the gun a bit, it complies to the law, which is later asking about monitoring. And so this is just merely transfers in tranches to the FET colleges. Some achievements there, again in a nutshell, 446 staff members trained. Okay, then we go to the challenges here. We do not foresee any problem. We only had a transfer or rollover of 6.7 million rand, which we will transfer back to the FET college this year. So not necessarily a challenge. Infrastructure, that currently is our big headache. Budget of 201 million rand. If one rounds it off to the nearest million, and we only spend a lousy 17 million rand, which is 8%. However, we have a turnaround plan. We'll cover that a bit more in detail as we go along here. Please bear with me. But, within the next two or three slides, we will give you more info about that in the house. On the next slide, if we have a look at our analysis of this expenditure trend, this includes the whole picture for Mpumalanga Department of Education. Our overall expenditure stands at 47% for this financial year, which is very close to the 50%. Personnel at on the dot 50%. So page 9, slide 18. I think we can skip that for the interest of things check. We focus more on conditional grants. The same with page 10. I need to mention to the house that we prepared this as per the invitation, that we covered everything. Thanks, Chef. There we continue with infrastructure challenges on page 11, slide 21. Very clearly there is a disconnect or disjunction between our planning, implementation and monitoring. We had many, almost everyone facing the same problem. They're implementing agents, kind of blame, and these challenges exist. We face similar situations. There's technical capacity, which plays a limitation to us, over commitments of funds at the start of the financial year, and then, of course, the 2001-2004 backlog projects. These are projects that share just to we put in brackets retention and near-complete projects. What happened is school, let's say with a value of 2 million, then has an inflation value of, what, 10%? Whatever. And let's say contractor is not interested in that last little bit of money because he did most of the work. And that's how these things do not get closed off or finalized. That's one of the major headaches we're sitting with. But we will cover that as part of our explanations further. The next block goes to the infrastructure backlog. That leads to the last item, which I mentioned, a 2001 to 2004 backlog. That gives a schematic synopsis of how many classrooms, admin blocks, etc. To a big amount of 7.4 billion rand. If we still continue on the next page, which 12, slide 23, infrastructure, this is our proposed remedial action. Currently it is in place. We are looking at all these things. To improve the planning procedure, we want to capitalize on the PCAT and the OSP intervention. These were the people, the Treasury, appointed to us. They are in our department assisting us. They also help to strengthen our internal capacity in terms of skill transfer, interdepartmental cooperation, further advancement of this interaction. And as I indicated, we are implementing these strategies to address the backlogs as well. Improve cash flow. There is much better cooperation between our IRM, or not cooperation as such, but reconciliation, if one wants to use that word, between our IRM and IYM. Also, regular meetings. Benchmarking, then, of course, against the best practices. This is a model from KZN, which our department is embarking on. I have a consignment of the other one lady, two gentlemen here. That can assist us to unpack this. And then, of course, the Free State model, which is a public-private partnership that we're looking at. Monitoring and reporting capacity. From an institutional point of view, we have our internal audit. They are not at full strength, but much better. Kind of got a wake-up call. Because from our past audit reports, they were not exactly effective. I think now they're part of the team. We also have a full complement if it comes to the audit committee. Four members, two recently been appointed, about 2 months now. So we are moving ahead. And then, of course, there are other structures, such as our provincial treasury, playing an oversight role, very involved with us, our national department, treasury, as well as education. We have other functions which are not mentioned here, for example, our provincial or PNC Lihota, there are the Mahotlas, etc. The second item, of course, is the monitoring instruments which we have to our available or at our disposal. For the financial data, we use our IYM and IRM as early warning systems. These are augmented by business plans, for example, if it relates to our conditional grants. We have monthly, quarterly, where I have to sign off the transfers of money. All these things contribute to monitoring. And monthly meetings. Non-financial data from our stress plan unit, quarterly performance and review. And then, of course, from a personal point of view, there is a unit that we're busy establishing to assist us more in robust monitoring chair, which is a monitoring unit that will be directly in the office of the CFO. So all our shortcomings are basically addressed through all these, the various avenues that I've mentioned. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Sogon.
Thank you, President. I think that we must appreciate the report. There are challenges. Yes. Now, I'm not sure if the director is the right person to is acting HOD for people who are overseas. This regime will, it's a very short regime. One to talk to the HOD and the what they call, there are challenges, especially capacity on infrastructure and those kind of things. There are challenges. And I would think that if we can prioritize them in the third quarter, so that the HOD personally comes here. So my suggestion is that we thank them. Thank you.
There are a lot of questions that must be looked at in this document. And I don't know if you want us to go through all of them now or unless you've got another suggestion. But Chair, on a lighter vein, on page 11, toilet seats. Chair, I've just worked it out here now that a toilet seat costs 56,000 rand. Page 11, it says toilet seats and they need 4,921. It's going to cost 275 million. That will show up at 56,000 rand per toilet seat, Chair.
Let's agree. Look, the biggest challenge is infrastructure. Now, again, let's say our team, let's unleash our team. The national department must assist here. Both the National Department of Education and Treasury must assist. Because part of what the National Treasury must also bring on board is the IDIP, Infrastructure Development Improvement Program. So that we just see at the third quarter what the picture is like. Now, this is what we would want to propose to your MEC in absentia and Ejungani in absentia. Because we do want to see a better picture emerging out of these issues. Well, I'm not going to raise questions that the members are right. I think there's a whole range of things that must be dealt with here. I was also worried about, for instance, the vacancies that cost 69.65 at half Bushpark Ridge. And so, let's just have a bigger picture, the whole holistic picture, especially in terms of the challenges. In other words, this team must go back and look at the whole picture of challenges and the whole turnaround strategy. Look at the whole turnaround strategy, and in the next quarter, do tell us, because part of what needs to be done in terms of the turnaround strategy is also the costing of that turnaround strategy, and therefore, whether that turnaround strategy would be implementable, in other words. So it's a matter that I think in the third quarter we must be looking at carefully. But then maybe one of the things we might also want to do here again from the oversight point of view, I did forget to say earlier, maybe Mr. Kolweni, part of the people that you might want to involve in the small subcommittee of yourself and Sokoni, as the chairperson of the provincial department of education in that province and even finance. So yeah, let's say Mr. Mkhalipi, because he becomes our team, or he can be assisted by Mr. Porter, just to ensure that as this team is working and also reporting, they are reporting to you so that you fit into the committee. There is, in fact, Mr. Mkhalipi will also be first place also to just follow up, same as why we're also saying members of in the provincial delegation. It's interesting, well, to see that, you see, part of the problem with the toilet seats here, Mr. Robertson, part of the problem with the toilet seats here, you might also not be sure whether there are toilet seats in rural schools,
urban schools, etc., etc., and therefore, it's an interesting one, but it's fine. Let's not engage with that for now. Let this whole regime that you're talking about go and look at the whole range of costing of all the needs here. Is that a matter of life and death? All right.
Okay, this is in seriousness. What's on slide 11? The backlogs of projects and incomplete and retention since 2001. Okay, my question this day is public works in Mpumalanga. It's a bit of feedback. It seems like it doesn't work. Thank you, Chief.
They did raise that about their agency. I think there's a whole range of things, but that's the other area that must be dealt with, those blocked projects. 01 up to now. They don't have a sense of what the cost is, how many of those projects are, and what is being done about those things. What could the National Department do about those things? Mr. Mkhalif, you've got to say something.
I'm sure, Chair, you've covered a lot of what needs to be said. But, Chair, we would also be pleading for a dedicated team that would be working consistently on this matter. Please don't let us have new faces the next time we meet. Please. There won't be any progress or consistency if that happens. We've seen things like that is reported here in page 6. Still to be happening, still to be put in place, that will happen, that will. We've seen it in the past. And I can assure my officials that this committee has got sufficient patience. But when it gets worn out, I don't know what will happen. So please, in future, we don't have vague statements like it will happen, that will happen. I'm saying we've seen it before. Let's have a very consistent, dedicated team that will be working full steam on this matter. Thank you.
We're hoping in also the National Department, and of course we're saying yourselves and the other chefs that we talk about must also be reporting to us on an ongoing basis, because we do want to see movement. You see, part of the problem here is that as we go forward in terms of dealing with the Division of Revenue Act, we might want to be a bit brutal and say no, because they don't have the capacity to absorb. And we don't want to go that route for now. And this is why we're saying everybody must just start working together, so that as all of these things are rolling out, we must just be happy to see. Some people disappoint us, really. We've been disappointed now by a department in one province. They motivated that we give them R1 billion in the Division of Revenue. A beautiful plan. All of a sudden, half that R1 billion is taken away. You know, yet halfway, just at the end of the second quarter, R50 million is taken away. And we were saying exactly those things, that no, we don't think you've got the capacity. And this is why we are pleading now with National, and we're happy that National Departments are forever with us. So we would also want to push them in the context of the Bible, the hymn book called Public Finance Management Act. What is it that they are doing when these things are happening? Nobody must be sitting back. But what also we don't want to see is a crisis where a department falls flat. And this is why we must be proactive ourselves, so that we move with speed to avoid problems that really would result in some form of a crisis. Now, having then said that, Madam Kuhn, do you want to differ with the young man?
I noticed that in other provinces, there is a problem of orphans, and childbedded households. Now, we have got to look at getting the proper identity for the children when they are born. So we need to look at the indelible process when children are born, and the child changes the children's original father's family. I did that for our thinking.
No, Mami Kunu, you know, it would have been nice if we could also recruit young people to Gauti, where the MEC stays. Because you did hear the problem there, that there are no young ones anymore. So, the companies of that province have grown tired of reproducing. So clearly there's a bigger challenge there. So you're right, let's see how we ensure that we replenish the... Because the problem, as people grow old, so too we have problems with infrastructure that was built. So we must ensure that people don't leave areas. Let's encourage the young ones to reproduce as much as they can, okay? And it's a pity. Sokoni and others are a species that is a threatened species. All right? Then we have the World Cup. Finally.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, colleagues. Chair, I think generally the Northern Cape has managed its spending patterns. So the trends are showing over the years a capacity to spend and spend well. The challenges for us now are mainly in the area of value for money. Terms of that. And I just want to refer you to what would be slide on page 3, the bottom slide there. So that the issue of sustaining our capacity to absorb the funds across the conditional grant, the last 3 bullets there talk to the jobs that were created in the areas. In infrastructure, 65 jobs. In carpentry, plumbing, glazing, and painting. It's part of the challenge here to build in the sustainability. But then I would go to page 6 here. Around food nutrition, overall 56% expenditure. The difficulty we're facing with that particular grant here is that the adjustment to the grant in terms of incorporating the Halakhadi numbers of learners have not yet been made to the grant itself. So we didn't get the full kind of allocation that we were supposed to get there. Also in Halakhadi, the infrastructure backlog, not enough places for preparation of food are there, and that presents a challenge. The program performance are glamorous issues, so I'll leave that one out there. Page 7, in terms of the HIV and AIDS, although it's at 40% spending, this is in accordance with the plan, because the plan has peaks and troughs in the spending. It's a grant that's related to curriculum, so it actually follows the academic year of the school, and that accounts for some of that. We're not facing the same difficulties in terms of the strike, because part of this was built into the recovery program. Also in terms of school nutrition, we used that money to feed the learners when they attended the spring schools and the Saturday classes and the weekend classes. So the money was fully used in spite of the grant. In spite of the strike. In terms of FET, it's as expected with the transfers, but we also indicate that we are tracking that the money transferred is correctly spent. The challenge there is within the rural FET. Although part of the infrastructure is ICT connectivity, there is no ADSL line in the rural areas. And so the issue of connectivity and getting that set up without an ADSL line by Telkom is a difficulty. In terms of infrastructure share, we are 66% of the spending. The challenge is in some contractors not being able to complete projects. The IGEP has built a good working relationship between us and public works in the province. It is now the question of implementing the service level agreement of calling these particular contractors to order. In terms of the monitoring capacity, Chair, which is on page 11, we're following the plans as outlined in the plans, and so those are happening as per plan, mandatory quarterly meetings. We do a sample around that. In terms of life skills, again, there's a particular monitoring tool that's utilized. There's bi-monthly meetings. There's a mandatory quarterly report. There's a sampling of schools that are monitored per quarter. The impact of the life skills program is not something that's measured on a year-on-year basis. For instance, if a learner enters the system HIV-free, when they leave the system, are they still HIV-free? And that's that whole 12-year, 13-year process that we need to look at. And those are usually conducted by outside agencies, some commissions and some on their own. In terms of the FET, the monitoring also, according to the operational plan, we conduct site visits on a random basis, there's regular support to colleagues, and then the submission of reports. Monitoring of infrastructure is according to the IDEP process, Chair. We're also doing our own verification before we authorize payment. From Public Works, we will get a document which says everything is fine, you can pay. We first send our own people out also to verify that things are what the documents are before you will authorize payments in that regard. The capacity has improved, and in terms of the reporting system, which is linked to BAS, that will greatly increase our capacity there, Chair. Just in terms of a concluding remark, we are on track generally, and we're quite happy with how we're doing, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robert Singh.
Chair, just for a bit of clarification, yesterday we had housing of health here as well. And the same thing came up as on page 6, slide number 11, the very last bullet. That money was not budgeted for Khalakhad. Now, Chair, I see the same thing happening here today with education, Chair, and I just would like to know how this is going to be addressed, because we can't just leave those people. Thank you.
Let's also throw that to the national CFO, Khalakhad. Alright? Any other questions?
Yeah, maybe the HOD can respond so long, because what I'm trying to look at is the figure that is giving us here, because it's those figures that we're giving to national scholars. Again, these figures don't carry. The 56%, national scholars have got 39% on this expenditure. I'm not sure whether the figures that now we're getting, are they up to the 6 months or up to date, made up to the end of October or so. But as for the 6 months, two first quarters, these figures don't carry.
In regarding of this, as again this cross border, and perhaps national, as you mentioned, director tenant can inform us, because if the original, when the budget is made, then for the provinces, those provinces like Khalakhari was from the northwest to Northern Cape, or Bushbuck Ridge to Mpumalanga, and from the south to Limpopo, the budget of that area is supposed to be continued and transferred
certain issues to the province who accept that area. Now, every time this issue will be raised that Kalahari is somewhere, so in my question is also that with the nutrition, there's 163,000 learners in Northern Cape. Is it included or excluded, the Kalahari school kids? If it's excluded, then the Northwesterners must see their kids. And if that is transferred to Northern Cape, then Northern Cape is responsible for that. So, I mean, and also if or I also say, in regarding of this new food nutrition from Northern Cape, if you work it out, that is, they will be in their budget and they see to 180 days and type of things. And again, also with Gauteng and every province, so if the committee is looking again into that of Northwest, where they are a short of 20 million or more than 20 million, but that issue of, I don't know if the two provinces have sat down and discussed that issue of that issue, because in regarding of, I'm just referring to Limpopo, again with health, in the area of Mutsi. That area was a part of Mpumalanga, was transferred to the Limpopo. And Limpopo was doing the service delivering there at the schools and every the hospitals and so the nurses and doctors were paid by Mpumalanga. But the other services, that budget was transferred to Limpopo to do the maintenance and every other thing. So I don't know where is this Kalahari every time be raised in regarding of when there's a shortage of budget of overspending and type of things. This little question. So my question is, did they have sit down and said that was allocated for this area, that was allocated for this district, where is the money, what is doing that?
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of the budget, in terms of overall budget, that has followed the issue of the function following, or the money following the function. But in terms of the conditional grant, the infrastructure conditional grant accommodated the growth occasioned by Kalahari. But in terms of the grant for school nutrition program, for instance, the grant increased by about 10%, but the actual learner growth that we inherited was in the region of 20-25%. So there was an understanding that some adjustment budget time these things would be rectified. So that is only around the question of conditional grant that we're looking at Kalahari in this way. The figures don't tell each other. Our figures is until the end of September. So I think we just need to look more closely as to why there is the difference in the figure. Because I see also in terms of treasuries, they're putting the capital thing around 32 and our grant is already around 34. I think there's already some differences that we would need to explore and finalize. The school nutrition program, the Kalahari learners are included, completely included in the 106,000. There's no learner left out in that program. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just two things, please. First of all, we will go back and revisit the figures around the conditional grant, and maybe my hands grow older, but I really want to give me something, but we thought that the demarcation of sex had been adjusted unless we made an error along the way with that specific component of demarcation. Because we haven't received a similar complaint from any other province. So we'll go back and go and revisit those figures with the northern state and with northwest province. I'll take responsibility for that, Chairperson. Secretary Chairperson, just on the demarcation, there's a bigger picture that we need to take into account that we often forget, that it's something that we still need to address in the country. We still divide funds, the education funds and so forth, based on the equitable share formula, which is headcount, and does not take poverty into account. And we're trying to take poverty into account with the national quintiles now. And that is why you find in quintile 1 and 2, 50% of the schools in Eastern States may fall in quintile 1 and 2, and only 36% of Western Cape schools fall in quintile 1 and 2, because it starts to address poverty. Now the effect of this issue with demarcation comes into effect. And the other day when I visited Mpumalanga, we spoke specifically about this. I did not want to interrupt just that Chairperson, but I don't think Mpumalanga issue is as gloomy maybe as what it came across. They do have two problems, and we are working with them at the moment. But you see, as soon as, because equitable share doesn't take poverty into account, as soon as you move from, let me call it a wrong term, but by means of a lack of a better term now, from a richer province to a poorer province, the poorer province is silent because he's getting a per capita higher income. And it actually uplifts his whole province in a way. As soon as it is the other way around, that you are the richer province and you demarcate from a poorer province, you actually receive at a lower per capita cost. And that is part of the effect moving from northwest province to the northern Cape. And you may find that schools are in a poorer condition. And actually you're not only inheriting current funds for operational purposes, you're inheriting additional backlog. And it has a whole other kind of implication. And it is something that we need to look at the bigger picture at some point in time and see how do we manage these things, even if we only make provision to manage them differently in future, should it reoccur.
No, you know what we need to do? Let's really not postpone what we are raising, therefore. Let's look at this in the oncoming division of revenue here. However, I think what we need to do is just to go back and do some small audits. Because we did pick up this problem in Kalahari ourselves.
Yeah.
Where there were issues of lowering of standards. Now, how do you deal with those things? Now, I think that because there was talk of a once-off allocation, and I'm not sure where that is now. So clearly, let's just do some small audit just across these areas in the country and see what do we do. Do we look at a once-off that addresses those and therefore try to stabilize the budget? Or do we build that into the equitable share, such that then it does start to create some form of stability? Then let's not delay that. Let's find a way of addressing it. But if we do that, and this is why I'm consistently saying the national departments must assist. In fact, part of the problem that really worried me with Northwest Education, the reason we said they must do that, you must work with them, they have even outsourced that responsibility. I am worried about that, because outsourcing might be much more expensive than the capacity you bring yourself. Because you would not need to employ extra people. You would take people from National Treasury and yourself and send them in to do the audit. And maybe one or two persons from the Auditor General's office. But then if it's outsourced, it does create other problems. So clearly, we cannot allow a situation where this kind of special work must be outsourced. We've got our own infrastructure in provinces, districts, and so on and so on. Why is it that we cannot then say to these men and women, working with ourselves, they must do this kind of audit, so that informs the division of revenue bill. going into the new year. So I'm just saying, let's really not delay it. Let's try and find solutions as early as now. And I'm saying this because it's as early as now so that when we deal with the, I mean, we are able to see the MTF figure.
Yes.
We can say, as a result of what we might want to propose in 08-09, the figures that you see here are indicative, 08-09 and 09-10, are not firm. Let's firm those figures ourselves. Professor Goni?
Yeah, Sir President, I think that you're correct, but it's a pity that we miss it on the NPDPS. But we well will deal with it in the division of service. But the other people that I just wanted to add that maybe would have to be invited is the FFC. Because, FFC has been harping on this issue of looking at what they call disabilities of what you call of provinces, looking at other peculiar experiences of provinces. For Northern Cape, for instance, would complain about, your chairman is not here, would complain about distance moving from one school to the next, that expense. And as you saying that we are in Galagadi, we visited schools where we found broken windows. And when we asked about this, they were told that time, it was still, the budget was still with the Northwest at the time when we were there, taking parliament was there. And we found that they were saying, so that they were not being serviced by Northwest at the time. And Comrade Botha is saying that, I think that the people of Galagadi must not continue to suffer even when they were to call it, there's a change now, under the new, what you call it, dispensation. I think attention is really necessary, it should be paid to those people. Otherwise, we're really killing that community, that forever it must remain where they are. And we cannot afford to do that. Thank you.
Right. I think that's how we are going to deal with it and resolve it. It must be resolved sooner than later. Now, let's then thank everybody, Northern Cape, CFO National, National Treasurer, Mamshulu. Are you holding your head, or you want to talk to us? No,
Sorry, nutrition makes transfers to schools and SEQ risk capitalization to the rural and the urban SEQ colleges. And we get an explanation for that. Are they also feeding the colleges? So.
Yeah. Chair, that relates to a part of the template was speaking about transfers and whether we have difficulty in securing reports from those entities we transfer to. So we do transfer conditional grants to FT colleges, but part of the process of the school feeding, we also transfer to schools through the SUBs. They pay the service people directly through their accounts. So it was saying we're not having serious difficulty with getting reports from the entities we transfer to.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, we're quarreling now amongst ourselves with Spanish because very critical departments are not going to appear before us. Now she's saying to me, no, because of the week, we have decided to ensure that the client got talking to those departments. You know, we've got a huge problem in the Eastern Cape Housing Department, for instance. Now, if the Eastern Cape Department is not going to appear before us now, I'm not sure when it's going to come, because it has serious, in fact, the Eastern Cape Mpumalanga and the Free State, huge problem. agriculture too. So I'm just worried about that. Not unless the weeds that we have in the amongst us here can go and persuade the powers that be so that this program cannot stop now. Now, having them sent to Northern Cape, we allow you to leave and perfect. Tomorrow we have no meeting. You have you're having a plenary tomorrow. But we also took some decisions in principle. Not in a meeting. It was in a study group about some problematic areas. Now, Kwanele has not yet come back to me about what was happening in KSP. KPLG was at KSP and Cape Kai. And we've just heard again here some of the problems that we're hearing. We did also take some decisions yesterday and other day to meet some departments in that province of the KPLG. We still need to have to go to Mbombela. Mr. Mkali here has been bleeding. Mbombela, we don't want to go to Mbombela when Mbombela has fallen flat. We did also look at the problems that we have in Northwest in respect of some municipalities. We might want to look at one or two or three or four municipalities there. Bulukwane had its own problems and some municipalities. So essentially what we were saying then is that we needed to look at a smaller team that would maybe three or four of us and plus two or three of the local government select committee. That would then be during the constituency period we try and persuade the powers that be to go to some of these places that we have identified as after KSG, Sky, Bombela, one or two. I think Rustenburg deserves our attention in view of some of the issues that are. But there is a big number of municipalities in that province that are there. But I think Rustenburg, because it's the biggest there, might be critical. Bulukwane we have not gone to. There were serious problems. I am not sure whether they've been resolved. There were municipal manager issues and other things. There was no water. There was no water. Is it resolved? You don't want us to go there. That's fine. Thanks for that. Okay. So, it would be looking at KSD, Great Kai, Mbombela, Rustenburg, and maybe one or two municipalities.
During the People's Assembly, we were not there in the Eastern Cape. The chairperson of the National Council of Provinces and the House Chair promised the people there, I think it was Alfred Nzoe particular, that this committee and the other committee will be able to make a follow up before the end of this year. You see, I think that there are problems, Chairperson. Or if you look at these reports and the stopgap measure that we are trying to adopt, it's clear that our hands are full. But, you know, the issue of constituency period, I think that if we want to pick up a fight, we must want to utilize the whole 2 weeks. Because if you're talking about everything, then it's talking about the whole time. I think that what we need to do is really to prioritize, pick on those, the chairperson of the committee normally says to people when you're closing, it has a matter of life and death. We must look at the matter of life and death. The problems will be there. We're not going to be able to resolve them this year. But maybe also find other ways. Comrade Colin was talking about smart ways of work. We're talking about finding smart ways of working so that we can make a contribution, a bigger contribution than the numbers that we have here. So I'm saying, with everything that you're counting, that surplus, that must be able to say, of this, which ones are critical that we think that we just have to, what we call it, touch base with. Thank you.
Then it means, Robo, my brother.
Just because, Jess, the two critical ones we used to get. Great time, when people go there, the doors aren't even open anymore sometimes. So, that one, KFD, I don't know. We were with KFD, but I think they want us to go to OR. So, the great time is a serious issue.
Is your great time, your KFD, your comrade, you're saying, but we had a great, we can't miss this Eastern Cape Provincial Treasury and this department. When we're there, we must have what we call a get them. We can't, this year we must talk to them.
Okay, that's it. Can we... yes, madam.
I don't know whether we're receiving any report about the cancer of the area. The fact is that we have a problem. It does need to be helped somehow or other. But if someone can find out, but they are not telling them.
We do it on our behalf. Thanks for that. Thanks for the offer in advance.
No, but then, this is a conversation.
But I'm saying, just do that on our behalf, and thanks in advance. Thanks for the volunteer. Thank you, madam. Look, in the third quarter conference, we will not call the Northern Cape Education, Western Cape, and Southern. But there are problems in the Northwest. Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Free State. You know, with Free State. But let me also thank you, comrades, for your probing questions, because, you know, sometimes some of these reports look so glamorous that ordinarily people will just get away with murder. And I am happy with the personality, the performance. Because, for now, let me show you a good example. If all of us were looking at the Eastern Cape Health, initially, it looked a closed case. But when members started probing, and if we spend an hour probing those people, and the questions that were coming then showed a terrible picture finally. To the extent that as we were sitting here looking at the NEC, arguing with her staff, you could see that there were serious problems. So I'm saying I'm happy with that effort, even though we received the material kind of late. But I'm just saying, the engagement with the submissions is such that you are able to, even those that we thought were really glamorous. And I think this round that we did now has been able to show that no report is so glamorous. Never. Northwest tried to be very glamorous and smart against the rally phase. That's exactly the point. So I'm just saying, let's just keep that up. Because now it's a pity then, I'm not sure Mr. Soko, now we're going to deal with these two portfolios. Housing and agriculture. Okay. Let's find a way of housing and agriculture. There are serious problems. Yes, Dan?
Okay, yeah. The Northwest. You know, Jay, if you take the Northwest when the HLG was trying to present the treasury finance, how that he was confused and messed up the whole issue. He was not really know what's going on there. And again, they were very clear.
There's something really wrong. And also, if you listen to the agriculture, if you see the agriculture staying in the Northwest, there's nothing going on in the Northwest. So Northwest is not only one or two departments. Other provinces, sometimes there is departments who have challenges. But as you also indicated that with the MEC there, when we asked questions, he was irritated. Because he could not answer, but I showed you as answer things what was not correct. And you could see that. So I'm really worried about that issue. But Northwest is on the moment for me. There's something wrong there. Sick.
What are you going to do about public work?
That's a big one. We've got to have a bigger discussion with public work. But public work discussion must not be in isolation. Because everybody must be there. And clearly, I think, you see, the problem is that even Free State, you remember people had an impression that there was a good working relationship with public works and others. Even though the MEC is trying to run away from it, but you can hear that he says he's not happy. You did hear help public works, help in the Free State, vis-à-vis public works. Mr. Sokoni was right, public works, Northwest was saying good things and education when they were under one roof. But then the good thing is that all these things have come up. We then must be able to pin them a bit down and a bit harder, just in terms of their own capacity. But clearly, part of the problem, I sense that these public workers are not interested in building their own capacity. That's another problem. Case again, same problem. But part of the problem then in case again is that, I don't want to say they have a new MEC or whoever. Because remember, the structure was kind of in the other party. But the bottom line is that clearly there was no capacity built all the time. And even now, there's no dedicated capacity. KZN has been using other institutions. Something called ITALA, IDT, and so on and so on. Yet public works is there. At some stage, there was no good relationship between education and public works in KZN. So, Bumalanga, you've heard, infrastructure, 8% in 2 quarters. Now, how do you relate that 8% of infrastructure to compensation of employees? What are those people paid to do? So, these are some of the problems that we need to. Something you are right, public works just cannot be allowed to get away with matter. Gauteng. Because the MEC Gauteng says you've got these empty schools that are maintained by public works. Again, I think part of the problem seems to be public works are not saying they have an overload. There seems to be so much overload for public works across the country that they don't want to agree. But part of the problem is they privatize, that is, they outsource the work. That must be done. So it's one of the problems. Mam Tunu, Mr. Border.
I understand that quite a number of such structures which were built by public works, but they're just changing this grant model. I don't know how we're going to approach it, but they aren't in it. They've never been opened.
Change deficit, what? Okay. The problem with public works is an agent for provinces. Now, actually, some provinces, public works try to build up a structure to do something of their own. But actually, most of the provinces, public works is just get consultants and everyone to do the job. There are, yes, a small component of advertising projects, appoint contractors, and then top of monitoring. This is why the process is like, you know, here on the stage with Limpopo, Comrade Aron Motsoaledi, he said, if he can build his own structure, he can build more schools and stuff he works can do. And then there was a little bit of a hassle there, and then they start again, and public works was trying on the track, and they get up off the track again. Exactly the same things happen now. And said, this is why actually the roads department for roads and transport using RAL. Because of the appointment of that RAL was originally by EXCO, because of public works could not do the job. And that's why they do that. They spend the money now, and I gave you the report of they have make other provinces and compare prices and things. But they spend the total money where public works can't do that. And if you're looking into this project from 2001 until 2007, all that project is public works was the agent of this. And that's why my proposal of that case yesterday was just that when we have public hearings again, public works from the provinces and treasury must be with the department in the same room, that they can sit here. That one that can start and blame the other one, that we can have the true facts here.
Now, I think that now I want to add, I think that Comrade Botha covers me. You know, Chairperson, one thing that we picked up in this quarter that we have not picked up in the past hearings that we have had, quarterly expenditure report, is this thing that Comrade Dan is talking about, that there are backlogs which were there since 2001. This afternoon, it came to us, to the northwest, is in Mpumalanga. And both these people have not been telling us in the past about these what we call the backlogs that are there. And we really need to, early in the third quarter, when we invite your health and education, I think public works, we must do as it did last time. They must stand, they must camp here for a few days so that they can answer to each and every thing that is happening. Because, you know, in education, now in housing, I think that it took a lot of time for government to find out around issues of housing that there were those blocked projects and whatever. I know, you know, what to call it, I just didn't want to raise it here. I didn't want to raise it here. I went during the constituency period to a place in Gauteng where the school that they say has been there for 7 years. I think it is one of those schools. Maybe it's not only these provinces. These provinces could just be frank with us. Other provinces are not, may not be frank with us. But I did find Gauteng a school that has not been completed after 7 years. And it's surprising that that kind of a thing. So you can't build a house for years and not finish. So, but I'm saying, so with the public works, then this program must work out. But yourself, finally, sir, yourself and Gwani there must really work out a small program for us, maybe for that week, first, what are they say? Say to something up to the 1st or 2nd of December.
Mr. Colin.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether it's not necessary in a way to chat with the JPS. JPC, or JPC, in terms of the small committee, we think of establishing, if it all goes well. this within this constituency period. Because particularly when we talk of public wealth, there is some ease, there is an interlink of some way, because they are also having some projects in provinces where I think at times things are not going well, or perhaps the national ministry is also having some concerns in a way. I don't know if you can find a way of looking into that. I don't know.
Then, talking about backlogs in the Eastern Cape with housing, the backlog from 1998, and that's still there. So that housing thing that you mentioned earlier on is very, very important.
Hello, madam.
Hello.
Yes, that form
that is used for our oversight, that does have what they will be.
No, you know what you must do? As you go out, can we say to each member, and then look on his right, firstly, just look at schools that were built far before this period that are not completed. Because he's right, some of these two departments were much more frank. Let's also look at what Bob is saying about those houses, schools, and other projects. There might be roads. Let's just come back, because exactly some of that might also give up this book. So that let's also pick those things up as we're engaging with public work. We might then be able to say, no, there's a project in this area, in that area, which was not completed since 1999, 1998, 2001, and so on and so on. But then lastly, Babu Mkwaho, I think let's really not mix the terms of reference of the JDC. Because this is part of what we've been saying ourselves, that we need to ensure that the JDC is much more focused in terms of what it must do. So let's really not draw them. On the 20, we're having two meetings, one meeting from 10 to 1 o'clock. So in this one meeting, we shall deal with five bills. And then on Wednesday, we have another meeting. This one we cannot for now deal with. We'll see how we deal with that. And then we shall have to have housing on Wednesday. We've got to have housing. And let's also find a way of squeezing agriculture downwards, right? Look, there are issues of food security and other things here. If we are not able to get agriculture, mind you, agriculture was bad. All of them were bad when we started. So if we allow them to get away. And by the way, there's also sport. No, it's only agriculture in the province. Because there's cars, there's land care. There's all kinds of things. But there's also much sport. And people are always having this thing, but there's also terrible issues that relate to sport. So I mean, must just see how she juggles. On that day, if she's able to get agriculture somewhere there, and then sport also must come on board, because there are huge monies that relate to sport. So it would be nice just to see how we deal with that. No, the provinces themselves. No, Kwani, let's find a way. It can be a national department, it must be the provinces. If need be, for housing, let's call. Don't worry about housing. Let's call the three, not national housing. Let's call the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Mpumalanga for now. Housing. The rest are fine. And then let's then call agriculture. Let's look at this report. If you're looking at this report from National Treasury, there is a clear performance there. Then it's because you can't allow these people to get away with matter.
If you look at this report here. Hello, sir.
I think you, maybe when you finish, you must also comment. You must also comment about the FFC report it is there. Have we looked at it? What are you going to do about it?
Then care. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 provinces under 35%. This engage is forever there. Oh, it's more than 46% this time. I can't believe it. I just said, then, library, all 9 provinces. Brand new funding. That is art and culture. And then, housing at the 3. Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo. Exactly. Now, you might want to invite 3. It's Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Northern Cape. Between 35% and 46%, again, is Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape. What scandal? And there's brand new money in the Bible. So we've got to. I'm not sure how you're gonna deal with it in terms of the powers that be. We have some members of the team of the powers that be that were sitting here earlier today in a big joint programming meeting. We might want to appeal to them.
Sekolweni, sir. I just want to educate you. When we are planning, planet here, we are planning for Wednesday. Be mindful that there will be a joint sitting called by the president next week. We don't know what are the details. It may have a little drop of some research. Yeah.
Can you attend? And go to the gyms and other things and shopping.
But if we are gated provinces, then we can sit on Wednesday until 9 o'clock in the evening. Because they keep over. So if you invite them, they just tell us, that is the time. You were sitting that time. Then we can sit later in the afternoon, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. Because they keep over here. They're not going home.
Can you repeat what were you saying, Tom? Can you say, even if we start at 5 o'clock and go on until at night, that's what he's saying. Because these people are sleeping over, by the way. And Bunny is excited. She says some of you can consolidate, some project consolidate things.
That's on the lighter side, sir. Is Comrade Danny saying now the Gauteng factor now is affecting all provinces that we shouldn't go to sleep in the evening but sit in the meeting? Talking about the fact that, listen, you see, Comrade Rob, they understand what I say. They are saying the schools are empty. Because people have grown up. You see, grown up people, they want to have meetings all the time.